Yeah, all right. Everybody have a good 4th of July?
Yes.
Yeah, we had like 300 or 400 people out here. It was awesomeness. So if you didn't get a chance to come out, we'll do it next year. You can come back for that. We've been talking about this summer different components of Christianity in which we can bring maturity and progress into our lives. And this morning I want to talk about that, continue that theme. And I want to talk about this message of great expectations. Great expectations. That God has great expectations for your life. That he doesn't have mediocre expectations for your life. He doesn't have small plans for your life. But he has fashioned you in eternity past. I mean, before you were ever conceived in your mother's womb, he thought about a plan for your life, and it is great. And so this morning, I want us to think about this in Jeremiah 29. I want to read a couple of verses, and then we're going to preach out of Isaiah chapter 5. In Isaiah 29, it says, "For I know the plans that I have for you, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." Now, let's just stay right there. This morning, if you walked in here without great expectations for your life, then you are living far less than what God designed you to live. Because if you fail to have great expectations for your life, what you're essentially saying is this, that God made a mistake, that he made something that was less than capable. And this morning, I want you to know that God does not make mistakes. Therefore, if you claim the name of Christ this morning, you should have woken up with great expectations of an incredible life. Out here, when you walk in these doors, there's a verse on the wall. It's Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, and it says this, "Now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly, more than you could ever ask or imagine, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus forever and ever. Amen." Now, when you hear that verse, if he's able to do exceedingly abundantly more than you could ask or imagine, would you say then that he has expectations for your life? I mean, if he's already set the bar, like he said, dream as big as you can, and I will overcome and overshadow any thought that you could possibly plan for your life. Therefore, God has these great expectations. And I want you to even like go a little further in that. And I started thinking, how do great expectations evolve? And that it's directly correlated to and proportionate to investment. You see, the things that you invest in the most are the things that you are the most committed to. And the things that you invest in the most are the things that you have the greatest expectations in. So think about that this morning, because we're going to read out of Isaiah chapter 5 this parable of the vineyard that God gives as a metaphor for his people. And for our purposes, in the New Testament, he converts the vineyard to the church. So in the Old Testament, it's Israel. In the New Testament, it's the church. So this morning, when we're talking about the vineyard, we're talking about you. And God is going to demonstrate his investment in you. He's going to demonstrate how much he cares for you. And when we get done today, when the dust settles, there will be no doubt how committed God is to you. And as a result of his investment in you, he has great expectations. And then, as we go through what God has done for you and has committed to you, I want you to think of the reciprocal of God's commitment is your commitment back to him. And I want you to evaluate this morning if you are as committed to him as he is committed to you. Because your investment in him should be proportionate to his investment to you. I'll put it real simple. In marriage, whenever you stand at the altar, how much of your spouse do you expect to receive after they say, "I do"? Do you expect 50%? Do you expect them to sleep at your house 50% of the time, and then 50% of the time you just don't know where they are? Would anybody sign up for that? No, you'd be foolish, right? I mean, whenever you get into this morning's message, it's kind of like that John Legend song. Has anybody heard that recently? Because they play it incessantly on the radio, right? I mean, that's a great song. All your curves and all your edges, all your perfect imperfections, come on. I mean, you could get married if you just play that for a girl, guys. And so I'm trying to help you out. Guys, I'm not going to go there, okay? So it'll work. I'm just saying, you know, use what God has given you. And so there we go. So God is going to describe this morning a love song to his bride. And he's going to describe exactly how he feels about her. And he wants 100% reciprocation of his investment. As a matter of fact, all throughout the scriptures, God is saying that he's looking for a return on his investment. That this morning he literally walks between the aisles of our church and he's looking at you as part of the vineyard, and he's examining his seed that has gone into the ground, and now it's producing these trees and these vines, and he's wanting to get a return on his investment, because your participation and your commitment directly impacts eternity. So if you're not participating in the kingdom building of sharing the gospel, sharing Jesus with other people, then he's not getting a return on his investment. He designed you to be a part of changing the world. So I don't know if you walked in here this morning with less than great expectations, but I promise you, you will have the opportunity to leave here knowing that your life is lived for something that is incredible, that is much bigger than you as an individual. Fair enough. Let's get into the text. And Isaiah chapter 5, it says, "Let me sing now for my well-beloved." All right, here comes the love song. Get ready for it. "A song of my beloved concerning his vineyard." My well-beloved had a vineyard on a fertile hill. Speaks to the positioning. "He dug it all around and removed its stones." Preparation. "And he planted it with the choicest vine. And he built a tower in the middle of it." Protection. "And also hewed out a wine vat in it." Now, we'll stop there before we move forward. I think it's awesome that God said that he prepared the wine vat before anything came out of the ground. Now, you see what I'm saying here? Like, if you didn't have confidence that you were going to produce something good, you wouldn't prepare the container. You wouldn't prepare for success. I would feel kind of sketchy about my faith with God if he didn't demonstrate that he is already preparing the container for the glory that he's going to squeeze out of my life. So God has already said, my expectation is that what I've put in you is going to produce awesomeness. That God is going to put his godness in me, and then he's going to get his godness out of me as a result of my commitment to him. So this morning, it says that he prepared for success. So when he planted Christ in you at salvation, he said that he expects you to produce incredible things. So ask yourself this morning if you are living up to God's great expectations. Everything that he's designed and spoken into existence has two primary purposes, and that is to progress and to produce. To progress and to produce. How are you progressing this morning, and what are you producing? Are you producing the abundant life? Are you producing at an incredible God level? I mean, more than you could ever ask or imagine, exceedingly abundantly. Is that what you're at this morning? If you are living less than a great expectation life, then I'm telling you, if you would apply what we're going to learn here this morning, it would change your life radically. It says, after he had done all of this, after he had positioned it, after he had prepared it, after he had planted and protected it, he went out and he looked, and it says that he expected it to produce good grapes, but it produced only worthless ones. "And now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem and men of Judah," he says, "judge between me and my vineyard. Now, that's tough. That's tough. Do you know what God is saying here? He's saying, where do you think it went wrong? We're going to get to that at the end of the sermon today because we need to figure that out. But he says, judge between me and my vineyard. Was it me? Was God saying, was it me that messed this up? Or was it the vineyard? Was it the soil or the seed? Where did it go wrong? And so tomorrow, this morning, I want you to think about that as a macro for the sermon this morning. If your life isn't progressing, and if it isn't producing, is it the seed or is it the soil? Oh, this morning, if you could figure out whether it's God or whether it's you that's thwarting your progress and your production, you would be a long ways down the road to fixing the problem. He concludes with this. He says, what more was there to do for my vineyard that I have not done with it? Why then, when I expected it to produce good grapes, did it produce worthless ones? Man, that's a great question. I mean, no one in here wants to live a worthless life. Is that a fair statement? I mean, raise your hand if you want to live a great life this morning. Would you raise your hand? Okay, I'm not even gonna ask the question because some knucklehead over here in this section will raise their hand. Nobody wants to live a worthless life. You did not come into this world, and as you got to the age of dreaming and becoming a teenager and a college kid and a young adult, and you didn't say, mark it down on my bucket list, I want to live a worthless, futile, insignificant, purposeless, without love or relationship life. Nobody signed up for that, okay? So, he says that he did all of this stuff so that you might have a great life. And not a life here, but a life that will last for all of eternity. So this morning, God asked a question that we'll ask at the end of the sermon. What more? What more could I have done that I didn't do already? So I want us to look at the four things, the four principles that God put into place for great expectations to occur. Number one, it says that he positioned it in the right place. It was a fertile hill that he placed the vineyard on. And you know, the awesome thing about that is that God has a perfect place for your life already picked out. And you know how awesome God is? Before you were ever conceived in your mother's womb, I mean back in eternity, before stars were in the sky and this earth that we live on was revolving around the sun, he was thinking about designing you. And he has a perfect place picked out for your life in order for you to bloom. That would be your God-designed destiny. And I started thinking about that. I was like, why is it then that some people don't make it to their destiny? And I thought of a couple of things. Number one, it's kind of a relationship to GPS. Does anybody use GPS in here just by show of hands? Yeah, show of hands, yeah, GPS works awesome, right? And then, like, it's gotten a lot better, but back in the old days, you know, when we only had like 2G and now we got like 5,000G, you know, back in the old days of Blackberries and such, you know, whenever you would lose signal, your GPS would flash a little message. It's like recalibrating. And now it's like, you know, a nicer track. It's like recalibrating, you know? And so whenever you would lose signal, your GPS would have to recalibrate. And I thought about that as a good metaphor for some of our lifestyles as we sit in here this morning, that your life has lost signal. And as a result of being without a signal, your life is lived recalibrating, constantly recalibrating, but never dialing in to the place that God has already picked out for you to bloom and to blossom. So this morning, I want you to think just for a moment on whether or not you are in signal, connected, and placed where God has apportioned you. You say, Tim, you know, what does that exactly look like? Well, do you pray that God's will be done in your life? Or do you pray that God will bless your will? There's a big difference between those two things, right? God bless me as I do what I'm doing. That's not correct. If you want to find the place that God has for you, then you say, God, what is your will? And then I will submit and sacrifice for what you have called me to, knowing that you have a better plan. You have a better vantage point from eternity past and eternity future and being God than I could possibly have in my finite state. So this morning, I just wanted you to think about your GPS as it synced up through prayer, through reading God's word, through coming to church, through involving yourself in Christian community. Those are all the ways that we can put our antenna up and connect with God and then arrive at our destination. As a matter of fact, I was thinking about a practical example of one time that I failed this year. We were going to vacation in Austin earlier this year for our anniversary, and I had the bass boat hooked up behind me, and it was my first time to take her out of town to a solo trip down to Austin, a non-local lake, and I was really excited to have this time with her. And then my wife was there too, and so we were rolling down the road, my two lady friends, and Carrie was tired because she'd stayed up at night packing, and so she's like, oh, I'm going to take a nap, which is easy for her to do. She has an incredible gift of like 5 seconds, you know, just out. And so me being the gentleman that I am, I thought, you know what, I'll put my earphones in, and I'll just listen to my music as I'm jamming down the road, you know. And so I'm all excited. I'm just totally geeked out because I know I'm going to get there with like 2 hours of daylight left, and I wanted to pre-fish this lake so I'll know what I'm going to do for the next 2 days. And so I'm just rolling down the road, you know, jamming, and all of a sudden I hear a little bing. And the gas light was on, and the needle was over there. And when you're pulling a boat behind you, it's over. It's over. It's not like, oh, I might run out of gas. No, it's I'm running out of gas. Carrie, at this exact moment, I start pulling over, and you hear a little, you know, the bumps, like, and she's like, what's going on? I was like, oh, we're running out of gas. She goes, we're going to run out of gas. I said, no, we are running right now. We are running out of gas. And so I am pulled over an hour outside of Austin, and I feel like an idiot. Has anybody ever been there? By show of hands, do I have any fellow idiots in the room? Come on, let's all share together. You've all done stuff that you wish you wouldn't have done. And I thought, man, this is so silly. This is so silly. My destination is literally within sight. But I got distracted. I got distracted, and as a result, I was delayed from getting to my destiny. I want you to think about that as a metaphor for your life. Is it possible this morning that God has a destiny and that you might be on your way, but somewhere on the way, do you think that we ever get distracted? Would you guys kind of bob your head with me? Do you think it's kind of a fact of life that we get distracted? And wouldn't it be terrible? Wouldn't it be terrible if on your epitaph of your tombstone, it read, they almost got there? I mean, you don't want to be an hour outside of your destiny to be so close. But because you got distracted by something that was so silly, you never made it to your God-designed destiny. Oh my gosh, this morning he has a place he's already picked out for you. And if you could focus in this morning, if you could get dialed in with his signal, he will get you to the place that you're going to progress and produce at the next level. Secondly, it says that he prepared it. It says when he got there, the vineyard was a mess. There's also always some work to do. If you're going to create anything incredible, there's always going to be some preparation. And some of you hate preparation, and that's why you're not producing greatness, because you don't want to do the hard work on the front end. You want something to just be given to you. And I'm going to tell you, nothing great comes with less than a great sacrifice and preparation. It says that when he got to this vineyard, that he had to dig the boundaries around it first. And so I want you to know that boundaries are incredibly important if you're going to progress and produce, because boundaries are a two-edged sword. You see, if you draw your own boundaries, you'll mess it up, because either you'll draw the boundaries too narrow or you'll draw them too wide. For those of you that draw them too narrow, you confine and, dare I say, try to control God. How arrogant are you that you are going to presume to tell God how it should go? I mean, that's insanity that you would try to control God. All right? You have to let go of the... How are you going to walk by faith and let God do his God thing if you're constantly trying to micromanage him? He will not exist inside of your box. So this morning, you're going to have to learn to walk by faith and not by sight if you want to live up to the great expectations that he has for your life. Secondly, on the other edge of the sword, some people, they don't understand that they need to rein in their boundaries. Does anybody know anybody that has a filter problem? They have a boundary issue. They don't know when to like dial it back. Like they get up to that line and where normal people say, you know what? We should probably shut it down right here. They're just like, no, this looks like so much fun. I want to dance out there and swim with the sharks and hopefully nothing bad will go wrong. Folks, I'm telling you, there are boundaries that you can live inside of and still have incredible freedom. There are boundaries that you can live inside of and not have regret when you wake up the next morning. So this morning, God is saying that he dug out the boundaries so that you might progress and then produce within inside the confines of his will. And then it says he took the stones and he had to pull them up out of the earth and to move them outside in order for this vineyard to be prepared to progress and produce. I started thinking about that. I thought, you know what? We probably all have some weight that we carry around. Would you guys say that that's fair to say? Have some weight this morning. Some stones that are in your heart. And God, if you're going to allow him to progress your life and produce in your life, at some point, you have to let him come in and do some surgery. Because until you take those stones out of the way, you're never going to get to the production level. You're never going to get to the progression level until you get those stones out of the way. There's some stuff that has to be let go of in order for you to progress. And I don't know if that's bitterness. I don't know if that's anger. I don't know if it's sin. I don't know if it's addiction. I don't know what it is for you this morning. But I know this, that we all have a weight that we inherently carry. The Bible says in the New Testament, it's the sin that so easily besets us. And Jesus makes an offer to you this morning. He says, I will take all of the weight that is on your shoulders, and I will bear it for you if you will let me. This morning, God is trying to prepare you for greatness, but you have to let him do what he does. And instead of holding on with white knuckle grip to your stuff from your past, from your present, you're gonna have to let that stuff go if you wanna progress and produce. All this field had all the potential in the world. Didn't it? I mean, there was just some dirt sitting on the side of a hill when the master found it. I mean, full of potential. But potential is almost like a curse word. Would you agree? Because potential that's unrealized is worthless. Potential without wisdom or talent without wisdom is destined to waste what God has given them. If you doubt what I say, open up your browser to ESPN.com today. I don't know what the headline is. Open up NFL.com today and see if there is a story of talent without wisdom that wasted the opportunity with the God-given talent that he placed in them to succeed, to make millions, to be famous, that God put all of that in them, and because they lacked wisdom, they threw it all away. Do you understand that this morning? It doesn't matter how much talent you have. It doesn't matter how much intellect you have. It doesn't matter how much money you make. If you don't join wisdom to the potential that God put in you from eternity past, you'll never realize the production and the progression that he had designed for you to walk in. Oh, this morning, that we might see what God is trying to do. Next, we see that he built a tower in the middle of the vineyard. And that tower was designed for protection. You see, after they finished their vineyard, they would put a tower in the middle and the watchman could look out. And if there was any varmints that were coming in to try to eat the fruit at night, they could defeat them. Or sometimes there would be bandits that would come in and that would rob the fruit of the farmer. And I thought, man, don't we need God to protect us? Have you ever felt like life was like the enemies were circling you in the dark, and there were items and arrows and people and things that were coming at you from all direction? Where do you turn in your moment of need? To what could you appeal to that would be greater than the satisfaction of knowing that God himself was watching over you? I mean, I don't know what you need in your life. I need God's protection in my life. And I am glad that God offers me security in our relationship. Did you know that your salvation can be secure in Christ? Whenever Ephesians 1:13 says that the moment that they believed, that God sealed their spirit with his Holy Spirit, and that that was the guarantee of their salvation, so that we don't have to walk around through a landmine of sin. I think some people, their theology goes like this, that every day they wake up and there is literally landmines all around them, and if they step on the wrong sin, boom, they've blown themselves up. And if they die before they say, God, I'm sorry, or they do a penance, or they perform some kind of good deed, that they've lost out on their salvation. That is very insecure. Would you agree with me? Can you make it through the day without sinning? Because last time I checked, I sin, I think, every day. Does anybody, are there other sinners in here just by a show of hands? Come on, let's raise your hand up. You probably sinned already today, didn't you? You sinner. So this morning, God is offering us protection because we can be secure in Christ. I mean, Romans 8 said that there is now no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus, that nothing is able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. John 3:16 says, God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish, but has everlasting life right now in the moment. So this morning, isn't it awesome that God offers us the assurance, the protection, the guarantee of Christ as a gift of God received by faith? I mean, this morning, you can't get better insurance than Jesus Christ. And so I encourage you to be grateful to him for his commitment to you. And the last thing is, it says that he planted inside the vineyard. He says that whenever he went to choose the seed that he was going to sow, to plant this vine that would produce incredibleness, awesomeness, godness in his vineyard, it says that he spared no expense, that he withheld nothing in his investment in the vineyard, that he put the very choicest vine in the ground. And in my research, the vine was called the Sorek vine, which had a deep, dark hue to it, a dark red hue to it. And I thought, man, there's some great symbolism in what's going on here. Because in the New Testament, Jesus says the exact same thing in parallel. He says in John 15:5, I am the vine, you are the branches. If any man abides in me and I in him, he will what? Bear much fruit. He will produce and he will progress. But apart from me, he says what? You can do nothing. So connection. So as these grapes came out of the ground, they were wild, they were worthless. He looked for good grapes that were sweet, but instead, They were worthless. They were wild. They were sour. So I asked, I said, what, God, what happened here? Everything that you did was right. I mean, the perfect place, the perfect preparation, the perfect protection, and the perfect seed went into the ground. How then, how is it possible that it produced worthless instead of good? And I said to myself, God, you're gonna have to reveal this. He said, Tim, the seed was good, but the soil didn't connect with the seed. And the soil chose to do its own thing rather than to connect with the seed that I put in it. Isn't that what Jesus is saying? He says, if you abide, if you abide. You see, you can stay connected with your signal, or you can choose to step outside. Step outside of the boundary of God's blessing. Step outside of the boundary of God's will. And the moment that you step outside of the boundary, he says, you can do nothing. God, when he looked at eternity past and saw you lost in your sin, it says that he was walking through and he said, you know what? I will choose the perfect place, the place called Calvary. And I will prepare it from eternity past. The Bible says that Jesus Christ was slain before the foundation of the earth. Prospectively, your salvation was already completed before the earth was spoken into existence. And God, through eternity past, began preparing and moving with inside time until it was the perfect time. And Jesus Christ says, at just the right time, the Son of God stepped onto the face and the stage of the earth and gave his life so that all might be saved. He prepared it. And then the Bible says that he offers you the protection of it. We've already covered that. And then God said that he planted his seed in the earth. And on the third day, it rose again. Oh, it was this most beautiful dark red hue of the blood of Christ offering you atonement for your sin. And when you think about that, it says, when my seed goes in the ground, when it comes up, I desire for it to produce. The only thing that can limit the life of the Son of God is your will. Do you understand that this morning? You are your only limitation in Christ, that God wants to produce in you, but your soil, your heart, has to connect with the seed of the Word of God. And when you do, you will live up to the great expectations that God has for you. Would you guys stand with us? We're going to have a time of reflection. We started with Jeremiah chapter 29. God says, I know the plans that I have for you this morning. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. He says, my plans are so that you might have a future and a hope. He says, and whenever you get ready to get to the place that I've already created for you to walk in, he says, you're gonna cry out to me. And when you cry out to me, and when you seek me with all of your heart, you will find me. This morning, some of you are going through some life situations and you don't like where you're at. Your life is literally recalibrating, recalibrating, recalibrating. And I don't know how long you want to live in recalibration land, but that is totally up to you this morning. God is saying, very simply, if you would seek me with all your heart, not part-time Christianity, full-time, every day, seek me with all your heart. He says, if you want to find the answers to productive life, you want to find the answers to more than you could ask or imagine, you want to find resolution for your guilt or overcome your bitterness of something that's in your past, he says, seek me with all of your heart and I will give you the answers that you desire. This morning, don't miss what God is offering. Don't live less than the great expectations. He has invested everything and given you all the ingredients. All you have to do is receive it this morning.